good morning. Good to be with you again. I was just in that line song. Sorry, I was on Google then, because I thought to myself, I wonder where that statue of Simon the Zealot is. And there's quite a few statues of him, actually. There's one in Munich, but I couldn't find out where that exact one was. But it just made me think, thanks for sharing that, Tom, because it's interesting, these statues.
I should have that on, shouldn't I? Can you all hear me now? Yeah. Is that a good thing? I'm just a little interested in statues, because I went down to London the other week. Now, I don't go down to London at all. The last time I went down to London was about 25 years ago. And I was sat in some gardens, and I saw a statue. I didn't recognise who it was, and I went over just to have a little look, and it was William Tyndale. And what amazed me about that was he was just over the statue was just over the river from the London Eye. And you know, the London Eye, how we all raved about that, didn't we, in the year 2000, had that been built. And then I read the plaque about William Tyndale, and this is what it says about him. And it just made me think, when I was looking at Simon the Zealot with that saw, about the history of biblical history and what's happened in our time, and how people are martyred, and what some of these men went through for the Lord. And this is what it said about William Tyndale: first translator of the New Testament into English from the Greek, born AD 1484, and died a martyr in Belgium in 1536. And it says this, it also gives two verses, I won't read the verses out, but one's Psalm 119 about the lamp to my feet. But this is the last words of William Tyndale with this. I didn't know this. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Within a year afterwards, a Bible was placed in every English parish church by the King's command. What a prayer that was. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And I thought to myself, you know, over the river is the London Eye. And there, over the river from that, is a statue of a man who prayed a massive prayer. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And they were, you know, you see the people who go around the London Eye, they can see London. And the man over the river, his prayers affected the whole nation. And that's why we're here today as well, isn't it? Because of the faith of that man who prayed for every church to have a Bible in it. It's quite amazing, isn't it? And when you think of the history in England as well. And so it's just amazing when we see those statues and know the history. A man holding a saw, potentially sawn in half because of his faith in the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? Anyway, I wasn't planning to say that, but I thought I'd just share that with you. I thought it was amazing. Yeah, okay. So, just to give you a little update, I was last here when you said, was it 12 months? I looked at my phone again. Sorry, I've been on my phone all morning. I was last here on the 29th of April. And since that time, I think I was mentioning to you that Good Soil was going to get a house. We've now got a house. So we've got four residents in the house and two with me at the moment as well. So that's six people that we've got in. And also we've got the farm project going. So the idea is to have people in our house, in the two houses, and to see people's lives transformed by the amazing power of God. And that's what Good Soil is all about. So we've God amazingly provided a property for us, which was over the road from me, and. In fact, one of the bedrooms looks directly into one of my bedrooms, so it's really close. I suppose when you see the Good Soil logo, it's about an acorn. There's an acorn at the end, and our heart is to see people transformed into oaks of righteousness. So we really value your prayers, and to see lives affected by the love of Jesus, and that's what we're about. And I bought two guests today. Robin's in the house with us, so he's here, and I bought my mother as well. So I've got to be on my best behaviour today. I won't get her to stand up because she'll go bright red and won't like it. So. I think there was a prayer letter. Did anybody receive a prayer letter in the? You did. Brilliant. Okay, so. By email, yeah. Okay, so if you didn't get that, I'll take an email so you can catch up on that if you like. So, yeah, if you want to ask any questions, come and see me afterwards and, I can fill you in a bit more. But thank you for your continued prayers. Okay, what we're going to look at this morning is the presence of God in our lives. I've titled it The Presence of God in Our Lives, and we're going to read Romans 8, 12 to 17, which hopefully will come up. Brilliant. Okay, so I'll just read this out. It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Okay? In my version, I'm just going to just read the first bit again, verse 12, just because there's a word in there that I want us to look at. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay? So there it's talking about sinful nature. In my version, it talks about the flesh. So we're going to have a little look at that. And this is this was written to the church in Rome, and Paul here is writing about the new way, the new covenant, and it's talking about the Spirit of God living within us, and no longer living to the flesh, but living according to the Spirit of God. And this was new, because this is talking about the presence of God within us. And that's really interesting, because when you look at the law, when the law was given to mankind, what was outside of man, what's outside of us, couldn't change us. The law didn't change people. But now, under the new covenant, the Spirit of God within us changes us from within. And the power of God within us changes us. And the presence of God has been important right from the beginning of time. Do you remember Adam and Eve? When they had sinned, what did they do? They hid from the presence of God because of shame and because of guilt. God's heart is for us to be in relationship with him and to know the presence of God. And perhaps one of the saddest verses in the Bible is found in Genesis, which is Genesis 4, verse 16. And it's talking about Cain and Abel. When Cain is killed his brother. And it says this, then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod. Okay, Cain knew God, but he walked away from the presence of God and said, I don't want to know you. Okay, and that's probably what happens in our world today. People may say, yes, I believe in a God, but the presence of God doesn't affect me in any way. I don't want to know God. I want to live the way I want to live. And I want to look at this. I want to look at this passage this morning that I've just read out, and I want to consider it in the life of Judas. Maybe a bit of a funny thing to look at. But this is talking about the Spirit of God living within us, the presence of God in us, affecting the way we live and walk and live out our lives. And I want to look at it at Judas because of the contrast. And I want to look at Judas because Judas was a disciple of Jesus. Okay, so he lived and walked with Jesus for 3 years. Okay, he saw the miracles of Jesus. Okay, and he knew the he was in that inner circle, so he was taught by Jesus, and yet he wasn't impacted by the presence of God. The other 11 disciples, we know they were everyday people and with typical failings, okay, yet their lives were transformed, okay. And they impacted the world. We just saw Simon the Zealot. Okay? All right? And what happened to him? The inner man was changed by the presence of God, changed from within, and they impacted the world that they went to. Okay? And that's quite amazing. Yet that didn't happen with Judas. And I want to have a little look at this passage and why that may not have happened with him. And so we're contrasting it with what we've just read. And I just want to say to you, it's really important that we're born of the Spirit of God. We're born again by the Spirit of the living God within us. Okay? It's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that lives in me. And that is the bottom line of the gospel. And it's interesting with Judas. In Matthew 26:14, it talks about Judas betraying Jesus. So he went to the chief priests and the scribes, and his line was this to them. He said, "What will you give me if I betray Jesus?" And I thought that was a really interesting line. You know, when we talk about the flesh in this passage, we're talking about putting aside our flesh and listening to the Spirit of God. Judas was very much, "What will you give me?" You know, we know that in his life he was a thief. He took from the purse. But today, many in our world are all about me and selfishness and self-centered. Okay, and that's what the world teaches us. It's all about you, what you can get. Okay, and we can say that about in lots of spheres. We can talk about, you know, it's about you with education. Get the best you can. Be the best you can. We can say that about looks. We say that about jobs. We can say that about houses. We can say that about drugs and alcohol. All those things, it's about you getting. Okay? And it's about taking. Yet the gospel of Jesus is not about that. What's one of the most famous verses in the Bible? I hear it. Sorry?
For God so loved the world, he gave.
Right. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay? The gospel was all about Jesus giving. He gave his life that we may go free. Okay? Judas was all about getting. Okay? He was all about getting. And that's a challenge to us, isn't it, as well? Because if we've got the Spirit of God within us, okay, we will be looking from ourselves and looking how we can impact, help, love, have compassion for others. And that's the gospel. And that is very contrary to what the world teaches us today. Okay? It's about having compassion for people. Because Jesus saw people, he saw their struggles, had compassion and reached out to them. Okay? And we have to be careful that doesn't creep into the church. Do you know what? Jesus is about me, my family and nothing else. I don't see that anywhere in the gospel. It's about reaching out and impacting the world we live in. It's not about satisfying the flesh. Do you know what? I need. Because you'll never get satisfied. The only satisfaction you will get is making peace with Jesus Christ. Making peace with Jesus Christ. And that's because that is about our soul, the inner man. You know, I feel sorry for lots of these people, these so-called stars who are striving for fame and glory, yet they're never satisfied because their soul is needing. Okay? But the world is saying, get more. And it reminded me of that when Judas said, "What will you give me? What can I get?" We all know he was a thief. He was after money. He thought that would satisfy him. It didn't. It didn't. And we know that famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave. Can I encourage you to be a giver? Be a giver of God's glory to people. And let that impact your life. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Just let those words mull over and see what God's saying to you about those. Because you'll never find satisfaction trying to feed yourself. The second bit I looked at was in Matthew 26, 47 to 50. We don't have to look at it. When Jesus was in the garden and Judas came with the army of people, what did he do? What did he do as a sign? He kissed Jesus. He kissed Jesus. So outwardly, it looked rather nice. But inwardly, betrayal was at the root. Betrayal was at the root. And there was a confusion there, wasn't there, about what Judas was doing. He'd got his money. He'd betrayed Jesus. And that was it. It was almost a lie what was going on that scene, wasn't it, when he went and kissed Jesus. It was a lie. And yet, when I read this passage, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are called sons of God." Isn't that exciting that when we come to know Jesus, we're united with him? We become part of his family, okay? He tells us to call him Father. Father and sons, okay? And that's really interesting, isn't it? I was listening to something a couple of weeks ago about the belt of truth, okay, which is in Ephesians. The belt of truth. Now, it really spoke to me because when I was in the police, I used to have, you know, you used to have your belt to hold your trousers up, but everything was fastened to the belt. So if you had your vest on, that was attached. If you weren't too fat, that was attached to your belt. Okay, then everything else was attached to your belt, your baton, your torch, your first aid kit, and all those things. Okay, so your belt was really essential. Now, in the Roman soldier at that point, it was a belt, but it was a bit like a girdle. So everything else was attached to the belt. Okay, and truth is really important. Because it holds everything else together. Okay? Now, when Judas betrayed Jesus, okay, we'll have a little bit of a look at that later. That didn't just come straight away. There were footholds that Judas allowed Satan to have a foothold in. So he was stealing, he was deceptive. And things just grew and grew and grew. And I want to say to us folks, if we're not truthful, we are giving Satan a foothold ourselves. Okay? So I want to encourage us to be sincere, not to lie, to be open, to be transparent, and have no secrets. And what I mean about that is, this is just a poor example. So you might come up to me afterwards and say, "Do you know what, Dave? I really enjoyed that word." Then you might go outside and say to somebody, "Cool, I didn't think much of that this morning." Okay? In those things, we're not being truthful. Okay? And we're giving Satan a platform to build more and more in our lives. Okay? Go around to somebody's house for a meal. "Oh, that was a lovely meal. Get in the car." "Oh, I thought that was awful, didn't you? I didn't like that decor in their house." Okay? But what we're not being there is we're not being truthful. We're not being open. And those things are a foothold Okay? Because when it says, talks about the truth here, the belt of truth, it's not talking about the word of God, because it talks about that later on with the sword of the Spirit. Okay? Which is the word of God. It's talking about us being truthful and open and transparent. That's really, really important. Judas wasn't doing that here. Okay? He was kissing outwardly, inwardly betraying. And I want to challenge us there, reading this passage, that we have a, when we come to know Jesus and God the Father, we are coming into a relationship, a father-son relationship. Now, the trouble with that sometimes is distorted by our own father-son relationship. Okay? But this is a real, this is the perfect one. Okay? Where the Father loves the children. And God loves you. He wants you to be transparent and open with Him about everything. Okay? Where we're united. And listen to that bit. By whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, if you go over to the Middle East, you will hear that word Abba all the time. It's just like Daddy. I trust you. I run to you. And I want to encourage us in that, to be open. And to not deceive ourselves, but to be really open to our Father. Not like Judas. Can anybody think of another kiss in the Bible?
Greeting each other with a holy kiss?
Yeah, that's not the one I was thinking of, but well done, yeah. It's in a parable.
Oh, the
prodigal son. Okay. What did the father go and do?
He ran
to his son and kissed him. Okay. And that was a kiss of peace. Okay. It's okay, my son. I forgive you. I'm here to protect you. What a kiss that was. Okay. And it was a kiss of the father saying to the son, you're forgiven. Okay? And that's the heart of of God for us. My children, I know what you've done, but come to me. I embrace you and forgive you. And it's that unitedness, isn't it? Even the son couldn't believe it. I'm going back to be a servant. Oh no, you're not. You're coming to be my son. Okay? And that is just amazing, isn't it? And I just want to encourage us not to be false, but to be truthful with ourselves. Because, boy, we do deceive ourselves, don't we? I do. Is anybody else? Yeah. Okay? And God is just saying, be open. Be open and be united to Him because He loves you. Okay? Do not fear. Do not fall back into fear. Okay? Sometimes we think we've blown it. We haven't. Because you're adopted into the family of Jesus and we can cry, Abba Father, that we're children of God. Okay? So I just want to encourage you, don't give Him footholds. You know, just be truthful. And that can be difficult at times, can't it? But I just want to encourage us to do that. Luke 22. This is the third point. Luke 22. It says that Satan entered Judas. That's quite a scary verse, that, isn't it? That Satan entered Judas. Okay? That didn't just happen. As I said, that didn't just happen at all. There was a lead up to that. He was doing things, wasn't he? Thieving, deceptive, moaning about money being spent, moaning about the lady being extravagant in pouring perfume on Jesus. All sorts of issues going on with Judas. And then he went for the betrayal. But contrast that to the presence of God dwelling inside us. Okay? You know that when we come to know Jesus, okay, when we admit our failings and that we need a saviour, the presence of God comes and dwells within us. Okay? And in churches, I hear this a lot, you know, and it's absolutely right that he saves us. Okay? But also, he helps us to live. Okay? We can't live without the presence of God. Okay? So not only does he save us, but he's with us throughout life in what we do. You know, so we don't say, oh, thanks for saving me. You know, the prodigal son didn't say, thanks for that, Dad, and walk off in the opposite direction. He went back, he went to the feast, and he remained at the table being fed by his father. And you know what? You may be going through situations today where you need the presence of God leading you. Well, you will do. Leading you and speaking to you in every situation. Okay? You know, you've just been praying for Clive and Margaret, having just been in hospital. My prayer is that he knows the presence of God in this situation. Okay? He knows his father has got him in his hand, leading him through. Okay? That's my prayer. And you know that God holds us and carries us through. You know, and that's the privilege of sonship. That's the security in sonship, that we don't have to fear that we've got a Father God who is helping us through these things. Also, that Abba Father bit, that we can be intimate with him and share things with him that we can't with anybody else. And that we can be assured that he's walking with us in those very things. Okay? That we've got a living God with us and carrying us through. Okay? And that he will be with us. Just looking at a verse in Acts 13, which is quite amazing, really. When you look at this, it's about Barnabas and Saul sent off. And it says this: whilst they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. And I find that really interesting, because it was the Holy Spirit who revealed that to them. And then the church came, laid hands on them, and sent them out. Okay? And in our lives, we need to know the Holy Spirit, God's prompting for us in decisions that we make. And sometimes we make decisions out of that. Well, that's what we do. That's our tradition. That's always the way we've done it. But that isn't listening to what God is saying. Okay, sometimes we've got to break the traditions that we do and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And really seek God in prayer for things before we move. Because we are in a family. A family of God. And we want to hear him leading us. The greatest in the Old Testament, what was the presence of God was by the cloud and by the fire, wasn't it? Leading them. And that's the way we've got to be today as well. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit leading us in everything we do. And not relying on ourselves. Being truthful and leading the way God wants us to lead. Okay? And that's exciting. And you know, it's interesting with good soil at the moment. I mean, we've got a house, and we've created some stringent laws and all that sort of stuff, so people behave. And we've been really challenged about that, because we made some laws whereby if you do something wrong, you get a verbal warning, then a written warning, then 28 day notice, and then you're kicked out. All pretty good, isn't it? But we prefer to know what the Spirit of God is saying. Because he knows the inner man. And sometimes some people might fall more than three times, but still need to know the love of God in those things. Okay? And I don't want to be a man of law. I want to be a man who's led by the Spirit of God. And sometimes that may not be comfortable because I like the way I do things. I may not feel comfortable the way God does things, but I know who's got the better way. Just to clarify, that's not me. Okay? Because God wants to shape us and show us new things. But sometimes the things that we put in place prevent that. And God does work in an amazing way. And I just want to warn you to be careful with your traditions. And I'm just saying that from my experience of the last 5 months. Okay, that we try and create methods and schemes. But in that, sometimes you can prevent the Holy Spirit speaking and working. And I just want to be in that place where Saul and Barnabas were, being open to what the Spirit of God is leading and saying about individuals. Because God is good, and he is our Father, and he wants to lead us and show us new things. I hope that's a blessing this morning, to be encouraged, because you've got a Father who really loves you. Okay, contrary to what you may think at times, because you've got an enemy who wants to tear that relationship apart, but wants to lead you in the light, in the good way. Amen.